Hey, welcome to the Sermon MP3 from Lawson Heights Alliance Church. This is Sunday, May 9th, 2021, and this Sunday, our message is entitled, The Joy of Mothering. Yes, you've guessed it, it's Mother's Day. God bless you as you listen. Amen. Well, welcome to today's message time. I invite you to take your Bibles. Of course, everything will be up here in the overhead, but I encourage you to use your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, please feel free to take one of the Bibles in the pew ahead of you. We'd love for you to just have it. Take it home with you. It's yours. If you online don't have a Bible, please feel free to contact us here at Lawson, and we'll be glad to give you a Bible as well. Well, what do I know about being a mom? Well, I have a mom. I've had a mother-in-law. I've been married to a mom for the last 30 years. I've got two expecting moms who are going to make my wife a grandma. That's two times this year. Did you hear that? There's a new announcement there, right? First, we heard the great announcement. Aaron and Becca are expecting. They're expecting in August. My daughter Amy's getting married in September, and then my other daughter-in-law, Danica, and my son, Jared, they're expecting as well now. We just found out a couple weeks ago, they're expecting in October. So if those two girls in my family, my daughter-in-laws, play their cards right in giving birth, if they, you know, if they control the circumstances well enough, then we could have a birth, a wedding, and a birth all in a 30-day window there. Can you imagine? Anyway, no, I'm blessed, really. It's going to be a great year. But, you know, with all that experience that I've had of knowing moms and watching them in action, you'd think that I'd be an expert by now, but I'm not on motherhood. But with that, and along with what I know from my Bible about motherhood, I've had a lot of time to think about what a Christian mom can do in their motherhood to make an eternal impact on their kids. Now, before I draw us around the Word of God this morning, I want you moms to know that I also understand that most moms suffer with a bit of quiet guilt and regret over some of the ways that they feel that they have failed as a mom in all their years. Grandmas, too. And dads, if you don't know that about the mom in your life, then you need to, because it's a reality that they deal with and have dealt with for years. And moms, I want you to know that I'm not going to add to any of that guilt or regret here today by God's word. Because here's what I want you to know first about being a mom. Number one is this. Jesus is still working for you and your kids, so don't lose heart. Jesus is still working for you and your kids, so don't lose heart. I love Hebrews 12. It's a faith chapter, right? It's about the heroes of the faith. And it says here, don't lose heart. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Now, I know those verses don't speak directly to moms, about moms specifically, but it does speak to us about Christians, Christian moms, and as believers, what it is that we are to do. What we need to know is that Jesus is supposed to be fixated on. It was Jesus who started you along in your faith journey. Remember that? And he was the one who sparked a spiritual yearning in you, first to be reconciled to God, then with the idea and the joy of being called a child of God, and then to become a faithful follower of his. It was Jesus who created the aspiration for you to be not just a good mom, but to be a Christian mom. One who would raise up their children in the way they should go and to bring glory to God by assisting your child in gaining eternal life. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 also is very similar to Hebrews chapter 12. He says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And friends, it is this same Jesus that you have grown to love and trust who will keep working for you, perfecting you, completing you, and in you that good work that he started. Isn't that good news? He hasn't and never will give up on you. He hasn't and never will give up on your kids either. Thank you, Jesus, right? He endured the cross. He scorned its shame, the scripture says. But then he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God to prove to you that he will never, ever give up on you. And he wants you to know that so that you won't grow weary and lose heart. Okay, before we get deeper into this, can you just promise me that you will remember that as we go through, that Jesus is for you and he is for your kids? At our elders and wives gathering, I asked our elders and wives a few questions about, just to kind of get some input into today's message. And all of them affirmed how important it was to remember this, to fix our eyes on Jesus. And that's why it was important, as they said, to dedicate their children to the Lord and themselves. To bring their kids before God and his people and to say, we are going to dedicate our kids to the Lord and ourselves in raising these children for Jesus. If you haven't done that yet, please call the church. Contact Pastor Tyler and he will get you started on that road. So that's the first thing that moms need to know to make an eternal difference, an eternal impact, that Jesus is still working for you and for your kids. So don't lose heart. Number two is stay humble before God and read your Bible daily. Stay humble before God by reading your Bible daily. Now, this might sound a bit familiar if you've been with us in our series through 2 Samuel, and that's because this is the command that God gave to King David in the Law of Kings in Deuteronomy 17. Let me reread it for you. Deuteronomy 17, verses 19 to 20. Speaking of the Word of God, he says, it is to be with him. He is to read it all the days of his life so that he may learn to revere the Lord his God and follow carefully all the words of this law and these decrees, and not consider himself better than his fellow Israelites, and to turn from the law to the right or to the left. Then he and his descendants will reign a long time over his kingdom in Israel. As we learned a couple of weeks ago, this law of the kings is not just a law for the kings of Israel. It wasn't just for David. David was supposed to live it first himself. And by living it, he would be a model to teach those under him, under his rule, under his authority, to do the same. And that's what we do as parents, right? We model this respect and this reverence for God in his word, and then that goes down to our children. This would gain the king and us as parents humility to walk well with God daily. And as a benefit, he would then be able to wisely and humbly lead his fellow citizens. And so will we as parents. So if you're a Christian mom, you know that you need that discipline too. And I hate to use the word discipline because then that sounds like just another duty you have to add to diapers and all these other things that you got to do. Now, I know the fatigue that demands on mom. And I remember how exhausted my wife was raising our three kids. Now, don't look at me like that because I did help her some, okay? I did change a few diapers and things. But there are certain things that mom just is better at than dads. Now, one thing that moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas should be good at is helping their kids along in God's word. And we all read books. Bonnie and I read these books growing up our kids. Books like Bringing Up Boys by James Dobson, Making Children Mind Without Losing Yours, interesting title, hey, by Dr. Lehman. The Power of a Praying Parent, Stormy O'Martin. There's also A Power of a Praying Mom, A Power of a Praying Wife. Good marketing tool. But a good book is a good book. Those are great books. Lots of helpful stuff in all of them. And today, parents have things like websites and blogs and Pinterest and all these things to add to their wisdom. But you know what? Honestly, none of them are a substitute for the Word of God. None of them are a substitute for the Word of God. Not the books, not the websites, not the blogs. Why? Because the Bible is the book that has the divine design to train you to be a godly, spirit-dependent parent. first, and then to help your kids in the same way. Remember the first point's point, right? From Hebrews 12. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And of course, I know moms get exhausted and there doesn't seem to be enough time in the day or energy in the day to pick up your Bible, much less read it daily. And that leads to a bit of guilt, doesn't it? But here's the thing. Jesus doesn't want to add to your exhaustion, and he certainly doesn't want to inflict any guilt on you. There will come a time when you aren't exhausted all the time, and that's when you can dive deeper into your Bibles. So here's some ways to kind of relieve your guilt a bit and how you can, because I know my lovely Christian wife, mother of my kids, who's also a pastor's wife, the mother of my kids felt pretty guilty about things that she didn't have time for or energy for, and one of them was the Word of God. And when our kids were young, there were things that you could do. I'll give you a few ideas. Number one, surround yourself with Scripture. Surround yourself with Scripture. And there's even a little trick for this in the Bible that God actually gives us that will kind of help us to do this. It's found in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 18 to 21. It says, "Fix these words of mine in your heart and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land God swore to give to your ancestors, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth." So put Bible verses around your house, on the door frames of your house. Put them on your washing machine. Put them in the car. Write them on the car seat. Did you know that most car seats are only good for 6 years? Isn't that, like, we're looking at car seats now. I don't know why we're automatically drawn to those baby aisles in stores now. But we look, and 6 years, that's all you got for a car seat. Then you got to change them up. So good thing, you can just write all over them all these Bible verses, just to keep verses all around you. Write them on baby bottles. Write them on diapers if you have to. Everywhere that you can think of, so that you can keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. Here's another trick that you can do to read your Bible, read the Bible to your kids. Doesn't seem like much of a trick, but if you kind of get in the habit of every night as you're putting your kids down, whether they're able to read or not, get alone with your child on their bed, wherever, and read some Bible to them. Our elders and wives gathering, again, I asked for some input on this for the message. Betty Unger mentioned that they had kids' devotionals like crazy around their house, and they listened to Bible stories on tape. You all remember what cassette tapes are? Yeah? Few of you don't know what cassette tapes are? Yeah, a few. Our kids had books like the Adventure Bible. That's the one that the two boys remember. Our daughter doesn't remember that one. That's okay. She only had eyes for Daddy at the time, so, you know, just always gazing up at me. You're a quiet crowd today. Anyway, there's the Jesus Storybook Bible. That's the one the roadies really love to use. At their younger kids' ages. There's also a unique new Bible series out there called The Story. There's a preschool version, The Story for Little Ones, Discover the Bible in Pictures. They're up here. Well, that one is actually a fake book. We put a fake cover on that, so you can look at it later if you want, but it'll be a different book. Anyway, then there's The Story for Children, a storybook Bible. For adults and teens, The Story Bible. And you can just help progress your kids through those. And you think, well, do I need so many Bibles at home? Well, what kind of investment do you want to make in your kids? Why not have all of these different resources as your kids are growing up? And the story on the far right, just so you know, like, it isn't that beyond our kids' age level. I think it's the young readers' version of the New International version of the Bible. Yari read through it in 5 weeks, so it's great for many ages. So you could just pick that up and walk your kids through it. So yeah, it's a great investment to have a bunch of Bibles around the house, and what better way to invest in your kids' spiritual lives than through the Bible? And then, as God said, talk about what you read when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. My wife was really good about this as our kids were growing. Help your kids learn to revere God's word by reading it and helping them to process the word of God at a level that they're able to understand. And by doing so, you're not just mentoring them, you're growing in the word yourself. It's helping you to grow as well. Fun fact, it takes a different part of your brain to read a Bible passage than it does to teach someone to understand that same Bible passage. Studies cited that the average person retains 90% of what they learn and when they teach a concept, and 75% of what they learn or read when they immediately put it into practice. In the 1960s, the National Institute Training Laboratories developed a thing called the pyramid, the learning pyramid. And to summarize, here's the approximate percentages of learning that learners retain per activity. You'll see them up here. So starting from the bottom up, because it's the most benefit, learners will retain 90% of what they learn or read when they teach someone else about it immediately. They will retain 75% of what they learn when they immediately put it into practice. They will retain 50% of what they learn when they talk about it and engage in group discussion. They will retain 30% of what they learn when they see it demonstrated. 20% of what they learn, they'll retain when it's audiovisual in nature. They'll retain 10% of what they learn when it's just reading. And they will retain 5% of what they learn when it's just lecture, when they're just told what it says. So here's a way that you can help your kids maximize their Bible reading, and by the way, help you to retain more yourself. So when they're too young to read, read a chapter of the Bible to them, or just a small portion of the Bible, or read a children's Bible to them, which are usually abbreviated. Read that to them. Then repeat what you have read to them in your own words. I know it might seem like repetition, but what it is it's doing that 90%. It's getting you to teach someone else, right? Then ask them, if they're old enough to understand it, to be able to repeat it back to you from what they heard you say, okay? Don't worry if they don't get it word for word. They're not Bible scholars, neither are you. You just want them to get the main idea, and that's the best benefit. So, what can they read for themselves? When they can read for themselves, ask them to read a portion of the Bible, maybe a chapter, maybe a section, and then ask them to restate what they learned or what they read back to you in their own words. In your own words is the important part of this, because that helps them to understand and retain 90% of the content. Oral cultures have been doing this for millennia. And they do it wonderfully. Even where there is no written language, they're able to pass down the same story word for generations. And it just sticks. Now, it doesn't have to be restated word for word. What you're aiming for is that they understand the content and the point of the story. And if you're feeling ambitious, maybe you might also want to help them learn to memorize Scripture. And there's various methods that you can do that. A lot of the books that you can read help you to do that. This one here is one of my favorite books for kids, Raising Passionate Jesus Followers. I wish that one was around when my kids were little. So learn to memorize Scripture. Help them to learn to memorize Scripture. In Jesus' day, Jewish boys were expected to have memorized the Torah. That's the first five books of your Bible. I mean, think about how big that is. And that's by the age of 12. So they can do it if you help them. In Jesus' day, that would have been like 187 chapters of your Bible, or 5,852 verses, 156,058 words. So, I mean, it's just huge amounts of information, but they were able to memorize it word for word. So they can, your kids can too, if we didn't do a good job of that memorization stuff when our kids were growing up. But in the Old Testament, New Testament, they took seriously the need to have the Word of God with them. And they didn't have scrolls or Bibles that they could carry around in their back pocket. This was their scroll. This was their Bible, whatever they memorized about the Scriptures when they were in synagogue school. So with them, they read it all the days of their life so that they could learn to revere the Lord their God daily. So don't underestimate what you can do to help your kids gain a handle on the Word of God, just as a normal part of your everyday routine, not adding to any more stress. And remember, the years that you're the most busy and the most exhausted, they will pass by the time your last kid is out of diapers. Life will get a little bit easier. It'll become different, and the routines and spiritual disciplines will change too. But learn to enjoy the ride and get into God's Word. Surround yourself with it. Number three, learn to pray out your covenant relationship with your Almighty God. Learn to pray out of your covenant relationship with your Almighty God. Now, you may have realized now that I'm just poaching from the last few sermons so far. Guilty, okay? But that's because this has been part of God's people's habits for millennia. We have to get back to some of these basic practices, but these folks are just the primary practices, and they will help you to be fulfilled as a follower of Jesus and as a faithful follower and a mother. These are the practices that will help motherhood, grandmotherhood, parenthood in general be exciting and fruitful in every experience. 2 Samuel 7, verse 27 to 29. So your servant has found courage to pray this prayer to you. Sovereign Lord, you are God. Your covenant is trustworthy, and you have promised these good things to your servant. Now be pleased to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue forever in your sight. For you, sovereign Lord, have spoken, and with your blessing, the house of your servant will be blessed forever. Like we learned last week, prayer is more than, oh God, help. It has that in it, but it's more than that, isn't it? Prayer is the dynamic exchange of ideas and feelings between you, the creation, and your Creator God. But understand that prayer is nothing. If it is nothing but wishful thinking, then it will only be that if it is not based on the new covenant finished work of Christ. Because of what he accomplished on the cross, when he sat down at the right hand of God Almighty, he, Jesus, has promised to convey all the blessings and rights and authority to you as a child of God. You, mom, a Christian mom, you are a child of God. You are a daughter of the Most High. You are Christ's sister. These are just proclamations from God's word about you. You are a part of a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to Jesus. You share an anointing with Jesus. You share the same Holy Spirit with Jesus. You share the same Father, the same Heavenly Father as the Lord Jesus. Jesus called the Father Abba, Daddy. And as you've seen, he is specially attentive to your needs and to your growth. You are the apple of his eye. He loves you, and he loves to draw you close and to whisper into your ear how especially fond of you he is. Prayer is so much more than just asking for stuff. It's more learning to abide in his fondness of you. And then, mom, you get the joy of helping your kids learn the same kind of abiding joy through prayer that you have gained. When they are close to you, draw them closer and whisper these things in their ears on God's behalf. Junior, you are a child of God, a son of heaven. Jesus loves you. You are the apple of his eye. And you get to learn to approach God out of covenant relationship, and you get to learn to help your children learn to do the same. When they are little, how many times do you get those private moments with them? Take those times and sing over them even. Things like, Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on you, right? You get to help them learn to approach God out of their covenant relationship just like you have. Mom, prayer isn't just requests. It isn't just asks or demands for help and needs. Prayer is also affirmations and appreciation for what God has already done for you and for your children. But then when you do ask God for stuff, you continually pray out of your covenant relationship with God through Jesus. Things like, Father, as your daughter, I thank you that I get to approach you anytime. Abba, I'm exhausted. I feel depleted. But you promised that you're in your word, that you would give strength to those who are humble, to those who lack it. That you would give the same strength to me as you gave to Jesus, Father, so that he would be able to do the works that he did. And if I'm to do the works that Jesus did, if I'm to raise my children in the way of the Lord, I need you to do the same for me. That is the right of every child of God, and I claim it right now in Jesus' name. That's praying out of your covenant relationship with God. And when your child tells you that a friend of theirs is sick at school, draw them close and have a moment to teach them how to pray out of their covenant relationship as well. See, as an heir to the throne of heaven, you get to learn how, and you need to help your children learn how Jesus healed. Because he commissions you to do the work that he did on his behalf in the world, in your life network. And your kids' life network is an open mission field for them to discover as well. Help them learn to process their covenant relationship through God, with God through that. Sometimes in the Bible, Jesus healed the sick by speaking or commanding the sick to be well. Sometimes he touched them and they were healed. So pray that way out of your covenant relationship with Jesus. Father, I thank you that as an heir to the throne of heaven, an ambassador for Christ, that you hear us when we pray. Silver and gold we don't have, but what we do have in the name of Jesus, we declare little Johnny to be healed. We extend our hands as agents of Jesus' compassion, and we ask you to heal him now in Jesus' name. Covenantal prayers are you exercising the authority, the kingdom rule of Christ in and through your life to do what Jesus did? And what better way to build faith in your kids than for your kids to see answers to prayers that they've prayed, right? And something else you might want to do to help you along the way is learn to journal. That came up at our elders and wives meeting as well. Another thing that they helped me in this message to do. Naomi Wiegers reminisced about how she had this prayer jar at her home. And when she had a prayer, she would stuff it in the jar and she'd pray it. And then one day she actually broke the jar and she was picking up all the little prayer requests and putting them away. And she noticed how many of them were actually answered by Jesus. And she had a moment to be able to thank Jesus for the healing in her life that way and in other people's lives as a result of her prayers. Prayer journals are a great way to kind of help your kids remember. After reading your Bible, go to your prayer journal and say, this is what we prayed yesterday. Did Jesus bring this about? And watch God work in your kids' lives to spark faith and enthusiasm. One last thing that you as a mom or a grandmother or as a follower of Jesus need to get a grip on is to be, in order to be happy and fruitful as a mom, as a believer. Number four, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. The greatest moment for you and me as believers in Jesus was the day of Pentecost. I know some people might think it was the cross or the resurrection, but without the filling of the Holy Spirit, those other things mean nothing. They never get processed in our life. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, we have that special occasion that's called the day of Pentecost. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other tongues as the Holy Spirit enabled them. That was just one benefit and from there the church was born and the church grew like crazy, like wildfire. 3,000 were added to the number daily, those who were being saved. It was on Pentecost that promised Holy Spirit came into the church to indwell her and to empower us with the supernatural life of the risen Lord Jesus and to convey the blessings of his new covenant into our lives. and into those we touch. Without the Holy Spirit, we don't get adopted into the family of God. And that means we have no basis for prayer. Romans 8, verse 14 to 17 says this. It says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory." Hallelujah. See, it is the Holy Spirit who makes us Christians. He joins us to and makes us like Christ. And in the same way that Jesus needed to remain dependent on the Holy Spirit, he was a Spirit-filled man after all. How much more do we need the Holy Spirit every day? How much more do we need to remember to walk in Spirit-filled dependence for our Christian experience? This is what Jesus experienced by the Spirit. Acts chapter 10, verse 37. You know what has happened through the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, and how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all those who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. Why is this important for moms? Scott McKnight writes in his book, Open to the Spirit, he says this, "The Holy Spirit was the divine power by which Jesus overcame his human limitations. Such as being limited in knowledge and bound by physical space and human strength. By the Spirit, he rose above his human weaknesses and won out over his human mortality, unlocking the doors so that the Spirit can come in begins with Jesus, the perfectly wide-open human." Motherhood is a huge job. Being a parent today is huge. But think about it. You're a vulnerable, imperfect human being trying to raise a vulnerable, imperfect human being to succeed in a vulnerable, imperfect world. How on earth is that even possible? Well, quite frankly, in the same way that Jesus overcame his human limitations and led and mentored 12 guys to do the same, you can too. But only if you are a Spirit-filled person like he was. The promise is if you will live life wide open to the Spirit of God and you remain dependent on him daily, the kingdom power of Jesus will be yours aplenty, just like it was for him. That's God's promise to us. So, Mom, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit today? If you don't know, shouldn't you? If it was so important that Jesus went to the cross and rose from the grave and ascended to the right hand of the majesty in heaven to make the Spirit available to you, I say we need to make sure we know. So are you filled with the Spirit of God? Not just moms, but dads too. Grandmas, grandpas, everybody, really. If you call Jesus your Lord and Savior, are you filled with the Holy Spirit today? Are you prepared to help your kids learn to live like Jesus did? Wide open to the Spirit. I mean, think about that. Right from the day they're born, cradling them in your arm, drawing them close, reminding them what is their heritage. Singing the songs of the church to them. Spirit of the living God. Fall fresh on you, little one. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on you. Melt you, mold you, fill you, use you. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on you. Don't you want that experience for your kids? at every age. It may be beyond cradling in your arms, but maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe today on Mother's Day, grab your kid and sing that over them. I know motherhood is a huge deal. It's a big responsibility, but it can be the biggest joy, can't it? But that's where we need to remember that Jesus is still working for you and for your kids, so don't lose heart. He's there for you. Remember to be confident of this so that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Stay humble before God. Read your Bible daily as best you can. Remember, the reason for this is so that you can fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. That's how you do that in this book. 3, learn to pray out your covenant relationship with your Almighty God. Remember, he loves to draw you close, to whisper in your ear how especially fond of you that he is. Most times you don't even have to say anything when you're with Jesus, do you? You just listen as he reaffirms that you are a child of God, daughter of the Most High. You are Christ's sister, part of an anointed royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, an heir to the throne of his heavenly kingdom. Remember that prayer is more about learning to abide in his fondness for you than asking for stuff. And you'll find a richness in being with Jesus in prayer. And then fourthly, be filled with the Holy Spirit. I think we all need this, don't we? Of course we do. We need this. And to get filled with the Holy Spirit is simple as saying, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Fall fresh on me. Worship team, why don't you come on up? Let's get prepared for some worship. The first song that we're going to sing is preparatory. It's kind of a way for us to engage with God out of the Word and to get our hearts right and aligned with him. And then the second is Spirit of the Living God. Make that your prayer. Make all of this your prayer. He's waiting for you.